From the Latin de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the May 10 edition of the Closing Market Report. It's WASDE Report Day. USDA says 35% of the U.S. corn crop will suffer drought conditions if and when it's planted, speaking of which, the delay is late now. And still, the World Agricultural Outlook Board is predicting a 158 bushel average crop yield across the nation. That's a 2 billion bushel carryout by the time we get to the fall of 2014. We'll discuss it all during today's edition of the Closing Market Report, a Friday afternoon here from Illinois Public Media.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In Chicago on a Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Everything was lower after the USDA WASDE reports this morning. May contract in the soft red winter wheat settlement price down 19.5 cents at $6.96¾. July are the harvest month at 7.04¼, down 19¼. July wheat in Kansas City settled the day at 7.58¾. That was down 20¼. From the corn pit in Chicago, nearby May futures there, down 6¾ at 6.87¾. July at 6.36¼, 12.5 cents lower. And September down 11.5 at 5.54½. December futures, $5.29½, down 12 cents. March futures at 5.40, 11.5 lower. Next year's May corn at 5.47¾, down 11¼. May soybean futures at 14.88¼. That's down 3 cents. July at 13.99, down 9¾. August 13.30, down 10 cents. And September at 12.54¼, down a dime. November beans at 12.05½, down 13.5 cents. And the January futures at 12.12¾. Down 13.5. Bean meal futures at 440 at $444.30, up $4.20, and bean oil at 49.17, 10 cents higher. Live cattle futures finished the August contract at $120.77½, up 25 cents. October at 123.92½, 17.5 higher. August feeders at 146.62½, up 65 cents. In September, 148.82½, up 97.5 cents. June lean hogs, $90.50, that's 7.5 cents lower. And July finished the day at $90.90, down 32.5 cents per 100 pounds. You're listening to Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. June contract, $95.83 a barrel, 56 cents lower. RBOB gasoline at 285 and a tenth. That's down 3 3/10. And ethanol at 260 and a 6/10. Down 2 1/10 of a cent. The difference between those now, 24 5/10 of a cent, as long as it's positive, usually good for processing ethanol into the crude oil supply. And it's down 1 2/10 on the spread. Natural gas at $3.91¼, down 6 9/10. Heating oil or diesel fuel at 289 9/10, 3 6/10 lower. And the gold futures on the day, $1,436.60, down $32. U.S. dollar trading 83.14. That's up 0.34 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon still. We'll see mostly cloudy skies this afternoon, 20% chance of showers. The high of 68 on a northwest wind at 11 to 14 miles an hour. And then this evening, a 30% chance of showers. With a mostly cloudy evening, 45 degrees for the low. We'll stay at 30% for tomorrow, mostly sunny after that. A high of 64 with a west-northwest wind during the day Saturday, and mostly clear by the time we get to Saturday evening. A low of 39 and sunny skies on Sunday with a high of 57. Sunday night, clear and cool, 39 degrees. Monday, sunny and 65, partly cloudy. Monday evening and 51. And on Tuesday, sunny skies and 83 degrees. By the time we get to Wednesday, sunny skies and, sunny skies on Wednesday and 83. Tuesday night is clear and 62. Actually, both those days are at 83. I thought I was just seeing double there for a moment. And Wednesday night, a chance of showers, mostly clear. cloudy on Wednesday evening. 60 degrees for the low. Thursday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny with a high of 76. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. That's time to check the agricultural futures markets. On the phone line with us today, as usual, from Lafayette, Indiana, is Mike Zuzulo. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, what a morning it was from USDA WASDE. Lots of interesting numbers. I guess the big one that everybody's looking at is that 2 billion bushel carryout, or maybe it's the 158 or the 14 billion bushel crop. I don't know. You pick one. Where do you want to start?
You know, I think from the standpoint of the analysis and what the listener was wanting probably after a USDA report is the average cash price. USDA came in on corn with a 430 to 510 cash price.
You bet.
That puts the average of 570 cash in your neck of the woods, and my neck of the woods is right around $5.
Yeah.
And the beans, though, a lot different. You've got an average cash price sitting at around $10.50. That puts you between $9.50 and $11.50. Average $10.50, and our cash price right now is around $11.80. So I think, you know, what we've talked about a lot this past 3 or 4 months has been the premium beans continue to carry. USDA is starting to show that premium as well in these numbers.
They're showing that in the numbers, but they have a pretty good size ending stock by the time we get to 2014.
I'm sorry about that.
They're starting to show that in the numbers, but they still have a pretty decent size ending stocks figure by the time we get to the fall of 2014 for soybeans.
Decent size meaning not too big?
Well, let's see. What was that number? I was thinking
260, it was 265 is what they put us at, which I think is more than ample. And I think the global number is the one that really troubles me the most, where we're going from the old record back in 2010 was around 70 million tons. They pushed us up to about 75 million tons on the 13-14 global bean ending stocks number. So that was the one that I think really shocked me, and it was one of the first things that was out of the mouth of some of the people I talked to in Chicago.
So what do you think will happen during the week next week?
You know, it depends on who you talk to, whether you're talking to a farmer in, you know, Jacksonville, Illinois, who I talked to one this morning, and he was on his four-wheeler mushroom hunting. I talked to another one this afternoon, and he was talking about going after beans and bean seed and giving up on corn after this last week's rains. Or if you talk to, you know, a market analyst in Chicago or in Lafayette, Indiana, talking about the supply that the USDA gave us was mostly expected, for the most part, I think. The market dealt with it fairly well. And I thought one of the neatest things about today's trade was that, yes, we made new weekly lows in new crop corn and beans, but we did not make new weekly lows in the July wheat, either in Kansas City or Chicago. And the technicals actually look pretty decent on a week-to-week basis when it comes to the wheat market, and not bad given the corn and beans. After these numbers have been published.
Yeah, those wheat numbers were out as well. What did you think of them?
Well, you know, it's hard for me to divorce myself from the private estimates that I continue to carry, because USDA is putting another 6% on top of last year's world wheat ending stocks figure, realizing that they did have to come down some on some of their 12, 13 numbers. But I guess looking at the numbers at face value, it's hard for me to see a 44-bushel yield coming out of this wheat crop when 2011 was 43.7 and our crop conditions are well below 2011's levels. I think also they took total usage down 159 million bushels. That seems odd to me that you would have lower usage on lower prices. And if you put that 159 million bushels back into the numbers, you're dealing with the carryover of about 500 million bushels for new crop wheat. And that's, I think, where it's really at. And that's where I think the trade should be trading more than this 670 level that we got today.
Absolutely. So let's go through the numbers as they came through USDA for corn, for soybeans, on ending stocks in particular. Ending stocks for this year now at 759. The average trade guess was 754, and in April they were at 757, so they added a couple million bushels back in. A 125 for soybeans, which is the same as it was. That's for this year. And 731 for the wheat. And then you already mentioned next year's wheat carry out at 670. By comparison to the 125 this year, and when I said USDA had a pretty decent size number for soybeans, I remember 125 this year, and we've seen 105s and 115s and 130s and 160s, but 265 for next year on the carryout. for soybeans and for corn as compared to this year, which will be a 759 at this point, a 2 billion bushel corn crop carryout by the time we get to the fall of 2014. So that one's a big number.
It is. You're right. I think the U.S. number is very, in beans, the U.S. number is much more easy to swallow in terms of not building supplies as much. But then you look at the global bean number, and it's much bigger. I think the issue goes back to, and probably we'll have to trade this on Monday and Tuesday, Monday because of the crop conditions report for wheat and the planting progress reports for corn and beans, and also the cash markets will have a chance, have had a chance to digest this market. But you're still at almost a $2 July Nov bean spread. That says you're tighter than 124 million bushels. You are, in fact, able to ship beans into the southeast and make money at it if you're buying Brazilian beans, but that doesn't help central Illinois and doesn't help Bloomington, who's still $1.25, $1.30 over right now. So it suggests to me that there's still that issue as the May goes off the board, and we had talked about this last week of May beans getting above $15 and then maybe even getting higher. Well, we got above 15. We didn't hold it on the close, but I think there's still a little bit of end-of-chapter writing for the soybeans next week that we're going to have to do. And if we do rally, it makes me want to sell into the new crop because of these bigger global supplies coming down the pike. In other words, I think the trade has probably digested more a 2 billion bushel corn carryover, has not really digested a 265 because the average guess was 239 coming into today's report.
Turn your attention to the world numbers for corn. Brazil in particular, USDA was at 74 million metric tons in April. They raised that by 2 million, so it says Brazil has 76 million metric tons of corn now.
Yes, and that's where it goes back to. It's a lot harder to say the old crop corn can keep dragging the new crop corn higher after today's report. I think that was probably the most bearish thing we got from the corn market, was that the competitive supplies came on stronger, and we saw a bigger increase in world wheat ending stocks at the end of this next marketing year, so that you have plenty of competition still, in the government's mind, still very much in play. But you're absolutely right. The corn global numbers were not friendly at all, and this is where, if the planting progress gets caught up, I think that's where last year's lows for the corn in the springtime, right around the 499 level in December corn, that right around the mid-May time period we made that, I think those are in play if we get caught up in the corn planting progress here in the next week or so.
Now, on that note, the World Agriculture Outlook Board, in its presentation to the Secretary of Agriculture this morning, had a couple of interesting slides in its PowerPoint presentation. One of them was on the delayed planting and how quickly producers can actually plant corn. But they are making some pretty big leaps, I suppose, based on the calendar, that corn would be planted next week really fast.
I think they are, too, and I think this is where it goes back to talking to those producers south of essentially 136 or south of 24 in Illinois, south of I-74 in Indiana, and south of U.S. 70 in Ohio, not to mention what's going on in Iowa and Minnesota. I think you look at Iowa, Todd, you look at Illinois, you look at Minnesota, the first thing that comes into my mind is that's where your national yield is made. And when we have Minnesota 49% behind the five-year average this week and Iowa 48% behind the five-year average, we all know Illinois was 41% because we live near or in Illinois, but Iowa and Minnesota are almost 50% behind the five-year average. And my understanding was that some work got done early this week, but not very much. By the middle of the week, they were shut out again. So I think this is where it goes back to early next week's trade. Do we get those lows that we established this week to hold, or do we start to speed up the planting pace and we open up the door for another 35, 40 cents down?
Let's talk about it more during Commodity Week. I'll have you and Dan Zwicker, along with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated and Brian Stark of the Andersons, looking forward to that in just about an hour or so.
Sounds like a great show. Look forward to it.
All right. Thanks so much. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Now here's Dave with today's Agricultural News.
In agricultural news, the Senate Agriculture Committee has released the chairman's markup of the farm bill. The Senate Agriculture Committee is searching for a budget score that shows a $23 billion reduction in spending for USDA programs over 10 years. The Senate Agriculture Committee will take up its bill on Tuesday of next week, seeking to pass it out of committee. The House Agriculture Committee will meet the following day to debate and amend its version as well. The Senate markup looks a great deal like last year's proposal in a variety of ways, with the exception of keeping, yet also renaming, the current countercyclical program. As expected, the bill would once again seek to eliminate the $4.8 billion annual direct payment program. The Senate bill would stick with the agricultural risk coverage proposal as a basis for its commodity title. Farmers would make a one-time election to choose to be enrolled in ARC, as well as whether to enroll in individual coverage or county coverage. For individual coverage, 65% of planted acres could be covered. For county coverage, 80% of planted acres could be covered. The bill also maintains the supplemental coverage option in the crop insurance title. Archer Daniels Midland Company today celebrated the official ribbon cutting of its new soybean processing facility in Paraguay. The new plant expands ADM's South American oil seed crush capacity by more than 20%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. We'll hear more about those drought conditions out west during that program, by the way, and the delay in the eastern Corn Belt from all of the rainfall. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated will be our guest for Commodity Week, recorded early this afternoon at 3:30, so it should be up and available to you at willag.org by about 4:30 today. That's Commodity Week, our look at what's been happening in the world of agriculture, including all those WASDE numbers released this morning. Now, up next, you know the new Congress is working on the next farm bill. The current farm bill expired last September, but parts have been extended at least through this September. One freshman on the House Agriculture Committee is Illinois Republican Rodney Davis. He's from Taylorville. And Jeff Bossert asked a producer, as well as some farm advocates, what they can expect from Davis as the farm bill debate heats up.
John Robinson is a fourth-generation farmer, growing corn, beans, and wheat on about 1,000 acres in rural Monticello.
This combine, my dad had an actual, this is a John Deere 45 combine, two-row, and I think it was like in the 60s, and then my dad had the corn sheller.
In his office, John keeps toy versions for every real tractor he's used out in the field. A photo of his grandfather on the old family farm near DeLand serves as his computer wallpaper, and political memorabilia hangs on the walls, mostly from old-line Republicans like Barry Goldwater and Chuck Percy. Freshman Congressman Rodney Davis isn't included on the wall yet, but Robinson says he supports his new representative and thinks he'll be successful if he can cut waste from the new farm bill. But he says some things need to be preserved, including the federal crop insurance program. Robinson adds that's as long as growers understand its purpose.
It's not a be-all to get-all. It's a situation that gets you to the next year. And again, it's subsidized, but it's subsidized with a purpose because you want to encourage people to take this kind of insurance so you can lessen your risk.
Robinson says there is much more at stake in the new farm bill and helping farmers facing production losses if drought conditions persist in 2013. He says more than half the money in the farm bill goes toward nutrition programs like SNAP, also known as food stamps. One industry expert says Davis, a former staffer to neighboring Republican Congressman John Shimkus of Collinsville, can have some success in this area.
The congressman's connections to a lot of folks in central Illinois who have been through those battles should help prepare him very well to assume a leadership position that we all expect him to take.
That's John Scholl, president of the Washington-based American Farmland Trust, a conservation group that works with Congress to protect soil and water. Despite his optimism for Davis and what he calls a renewed sense of bipartisanship. He says items like SNAP and the overall federal budget could lead to a contentious debate.
The really big difference comes in the amount of money that's being cut from the SNAP program or nutrition programs in general. And it's a difference of, you know, almost $100 million. And trying to reconcile that is going to be very contentious, and it's going to be, I think, really something that's going to make, perhaps more than anything else, a farm bill difficult to attain.
But Davis says there's a renewed sense of optimism in Congress after members got bogged down last year in partisan bickering.
Some of my best friends in my freshman class are Democrats. You know, we're willing to work together. The rank and file are willing to work together. And I believe when you saw this last election, it was an election that both sides thought they would swing, you know, their way. Neither side did. And I think that's what shows a lot of members of Congress that major pieces of legislation shouldn't just be about political partisanship and polarization.
Davis says that as the only Illinois Republican on the House Ag Committee, he feels the need to take a statewide view on issues. With that in mind, he and freshman Democrat Bill Enyard of Belleville have co-sponsored a measure separate from the Farm Bill that seeks to help commercial river traffic on the Mississippi River during droughts and floods. Davis says amendments to the Water Resources Development Act would give the Army Corps of Engineers the ability to better manage the watershed during periods of extreme weather.
And if we don't have access to that navigation channel down the Mississippi to get that product out, to get our coal and get our corn and get our soybeans out there, then we don't have jobs. So it is a crucial element to our Midwestern success economically, and that's why we're trying to lead in a bipartisan way on this issue.
Oklahoma Republican and House Agriculture Committee Chair Frank Lucas says he'll move ahead with a markup or formal revision and drafting of the next farm bill by May 15th. The Senate Ag Committee was expected to start its own markup process early next week. Congressman Davis believes the new farm bill could be approved by both chambers by September, around the time the last provisions of the old farm bill expire. I'm Jeff Bossert, Illinois Public Media.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Let's check the cash grain market. Bruce Bostard is on the phone line from the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow. Good afternoon to you, Bruce. How much rainfall did you get up that way?
7/10 at Ludlow. As I get further north, Piper City, La Hogue, Danforth, 3/10 up there, 2,500s to 3/10.
So maybe 3-4 days for those guys, and what, 5-6 days for the guys closer at home?
Closer to home, yeah, just about time the next front moves through.
That'll be the case. I suspect now they're getting nervous.
Yeah, and all over the place. Right here around Ludlow, we do not have very much work done at all. You get north of 24, and they made some pretty rapid progress this week.
What are your expectations for Monday, then, for crop progress, that is?
Crop progress? I don't have a hard number. I think we could see some big jumps in Illinois. It's going to be really backwards. Northern Illinois has made good progress, and the southern two-thirds of the state, not so much. So it's going to be totally opposite of what we'd normally expect.
And what are your bids for the day?
We are at 665 on nearby corn and 1487 on beans.
Any quick thought on the WASDE figures from this morning?
No, I mean, the biggest change was the world numbers. The U.S., yeah, we were a little bit higher. One of the keys, I think, we broke the magic 2 billion number, so that's kind of a key just psychologically.
Thanks so much, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator in Ludlow, Illinois. Back in 2 minutes, we'll talk about the ag weather.
It's National Shrimp Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1773, to keep the troubled East India Company solvent, the British Parliament passed the Tea Act, taxing all tea in the American colonies. In 1818, Paul Revere died, a silversmith and American Revolutionary folk hero. He also made surgical instruments and false teeth. In 1869, the first transcontinental railroad linking the eastern and western United States was completed at Promontory Summit, Utah, with the Golden Spike. The new coast-to-coast railroad reduced a journey of 4 months or more to just 1 week. In 1918, Orville Freeman was born. A one-time senator from Minnesota, he became U.S. Secretary of Agriculture from 1961 through 1969. In 1934, a massive storm sent 350 million tons of topsoil flying from the parched Great Plains as far east as New York, Boston, and Atlanta. The storm forced thousands of families to migrate to California. And in 1920, John Wesley Hyatt died, a U.S. inventor. He is regarded as a pioneer of the plastics industry. He discovered the process for making celluloid. He also had a number of other inventions, including a water purification system, a sugarcane mill, and a widely used roller bearing. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Learnard Seed Service supports agricultural programming on WILL as an additional service to its customers. Learnard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Learnard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
This is the closing market report on a Friday afternoon. Jim Angel is on the phone line from the Prairie Research Institute at the Illinois State Water Survey. He's a state climatologist. Good afternoon to you, Jim.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather that came through, how much rainfall it dropped across the state of Illinois, and if there was anybody that didn't get it.
Yeah, I've got an inch of rain at my house, and I really didn't need it, but I got it anyway. So that's kind of been the story. You know, we've got quite a bit of rain across the state out of the system, and I don't think anybody really needs it at this point. And in fact, I was looking at some of the longer-term totals the last 30 days across Illinois, and gosh, there's some areas that are up to 10 to 12 inches of rain in the last 30 days, especially in western Illinois. And kind of an area just to the south of us has also been very wet. So it's pretty incredible and a big change from what we saw last year.
Yeah, I think I saw a tweet from Mr. Bennett, who's on our Thursday afternoon cash grain segment, that he had 11 inches there where he is in Windsor, Illinois. So there's been a lot of rainfall, keeps people out of the field. And he also happened to mention that over the next 6 to 10 day forecast, near term at least, there was no more than a 50% shot of rainfall in his area. And that was the first time I think he'd said he'd seen that for a long time.
That's right. If you look at for us here in central Illinois, we have several days ahead of us that things look a lot better. There is a chance of rain this afternoon and tonight, and a little bit on Thursday, about a 30% chance on Thursday. But then we've got a long stretch on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and even Wednesday where things look pretty clear. The next chance is Wednesday night or Thursday at this point. And it's a little hard to tell how much rain we're going to get out from that system, but it does look a little better. At least the temperatures are supposed to be up in the 80s, especially Monday and Tuesday, and even Wednesday. So I think that gives a better chance of drying out at this stage.
Yeah, a little wind coming along with that, too, to help things along?
Yeah, and lots of sunshine, too. You know, we're going to be dominated by high pressure over the next several days, so that's good news for drying out conditions, both the clear skies and warm temperatures.
And then when you get past that, into the second set, or second week from this time around, what do you see?
Yeah, if you look out farther out, like the 8 to 14-day forecast right now, they've still got pretty much the eastern half of Illinois as being in what they call increased chance of below normal temperatures. And they have the northern part of the state an increased chance of above normal precipitation. So it's still kind of it's not real clear how things will play out, I think, but we're not out of the woods yet as far as the rainy weather goes.
Thanks so much for taking the time with us.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel is with the Illinois State Water Survey, joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Friday afternoon. We'll record Commodity Week a bit early. Should be posted by about 4:30 USA Central Time to willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a great afternoon.
This Stock and Commodity Report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.